I'm Doris Glick from the University of Virginia, and I am here to present a paper that I have done with my colleagues, and I'd like to thank my colleagues, Dr. Pam Kolbach, who many of you know. Edie Barbaro and Catherine Kane are psych mental health faculty at the University of Virginia with whom we have collaborated on this project. Kathleen Cox is health systems management faculty, and Hannah Walker is our project manager, right-hand person who makes sure that we periodically end up in the same room at the same time. And Emily Hauenstein is our rural health expert. Emily is no longer with us. She left us to be an associate dean at the University of Rochester. So our loss is Rochester's gain. Betty, I need some help. How do I?
Do the forward arrow.
I got it. Okay.
This arrow works, I think, right here.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Okay. We, too, have no financial relationships or commercial interests to disclose. We are appropriately poor. And we have been funded by an advanced nursing education grant from HRSA. The background, what I'd like to talk about is some background in rural health, which is what we are focused on, some concepts of transformational leadership, and then present our model that we, in which we have merged concepts of rural health with those of transformational leadership. The background for this project is the severe shortages of health workforce, particularly in rural areas, escalating health disparities, you know all this, increasing globalization, need for disaster preparedness, and shrinking healthcare budgets. Our grant is a collaboration between health, public health, health systems management, and psych mental health nursing. In 2002, we began this project with a grant from HRSA to begin to put our public health and health systems management programs online to use distance education, and our focus at that time was to strengthen the nursing workforce in rural areas. And our rationale was based on some literature that shows that when people are educated in their home area, they're more likely to stay there and work. But when they go someplace else to go to school, they're less likely to go home and work in those areas. And this is particularly true in rural areas. So that was our goal. We began doing online programs and teaching online and convincing a faculty to do online was a particular challenge that is probably a topic of a different presentation. But we began then. And then in 2008, we received this grant and we began collaborating with Psych Mental Health and began putting their courses online. One of the things that made it possible for Psych Mental Health is that throughout this time, we've constantly been upgrading our technology and our ability to do online and distance education. And now that we can do synchronous face-to-face interaction online, the Psych Mental Health are more comfortable with this because those faculty felt they had to be able to see their students and it was more important for their clinicals than we felt it was for ours. So we have made this a collaborative project so that all of these students will graduate with expertise in rural health to address preventable health problems in rural areas, improve functioning for those with chronic illness, and meet the needs of disadvantaged rural populations. 25% of the U.S. population lives in rural areas, characterized by a scarcity of resources and limited access to care. We know that the health of these people is limited by economic limitations. 2,100 of the health professional shortage areas are in rural areas compared to only 900 in urban areas. I shouldn't say only 900, that's bad too, but it's compounded in rural areas. And lack of access to mental health and dental health services is more pronounced in rural areas. We have tackled the mental health part. We don't know how to even begin to address dental health services. rural residents are more likely to live in poverty, be uninsured. Per capita income is about $7,400 lower than that in rural areas. The poverty level among rural children is 24%. The rate of poverty for women and for minorities is even greater in rural areas. And rural residents have less access to essential public health services compared to those in urban areas. Some of the health issues are increase in obesity in children and adults in rural areas, increased rates of cardiovascular disease, and increased rates of hypertension. In 2005, the National Rural Health Association issued a policy statement about the nursing workforce in rural areas, and they felt that the shortage is related to financial disincentives for working in rural areas, salaries tend to be lower, lack of recruitment area efforts, and limited access to professional education, and it is particularly that latter point that we're trying to address with this project. Some of the challenges for nurses in rural areas are that they must be sensitive to the characteristics of rural populations with greater threats to confidentiality, traditional gender roles, geographic and professional isolation, and the scarcity of resources. There may be more resistance from physicians to advanced practice roles in rural areas. And we're particularly aware of this in the light of the new IOM report and trying to help nurses be able to practice to the full extent of their qualifications and the limitations to that in some areas, and particularly in rural areas. Some of the recommendations from this committee were to include content on rural health care in curriculum, to recruit nurse faculty with expertise in rural health, to encourage nurses to pursue a career in nursing education, and we do need more faculty, as I'm sure the rest of you can relate to, and to make education more accessible to rural nurses and rural individuals for training in rural communities. One of the things we've been doing ever since we started our distance courses is have the students, even if they're in rural areas and don't come to Charlottesville, where we're located, for classes, we require them to come for the first and last day of classes. And one of the things that we find they need most of all is socialization. They work with other students. They know each other by name in the group projects that they do, but they don't have faces to go with those names many times. They know faculty by names but not faces, and this is an opportunity for them to get to know each other. You can see Pam and I holding forth at some of these luncheons, and what we're doing is facilitating having students introduce themselves and talk about themselves, and having faculty introduce themselves and facilitating interaction. We do a little bit of this sort of thing, and then we step back and allow them time to interact with each other. And it has been very, very effective and successful and fun. It's a fun thing to do for faculty and students. So on top of all these issues about rural health, we have added transformational leadership concepts. And transformational leadership is collective attributes and skills and methods that nurses use to organize healthcare efforts to achieve better health outcomes. Transformational leadership merges the ideals of leaders and of followers to pursue a greater good and encourages the pervasive exercise of leadership. And what that means is not just leadership from the nurses, but encourages leadership from within the community. Transformational leaders have a clear vision and exert influence as role models who are willing to take risks. They're inspirational, they're challenging to community members, colleagues, and staff to move toward goals and a shared vision. They're intellectually stimulating and solicit new ideas and foster creativity. They're able to consider the needs of individual community members, colleagues, and staff, and respect individual differences in developing team members as leaders. Our statement about all this for our project is that graduates who are empowered with these skills will be prepared to assume leadership positions in rural communities and to become change agents, influencing the nursing workforce, other disciplines, and community residents. Ultimately, they will lead others to address the problems or conditions that result in health barriers and rural health disparities. We haven't had any students yet who can walk on water, but we really do have wonderful students who are up to the challenge. The model that we've developed is, this is a bit complex visually, but what it does is it imposes concepts of transformational leadership onto a model of rural health. And the model of rural health looks at systems factors in individuals, families, populations, and communities, from issues of access to care to system-level outcomes, and organizational characteristics of addressing barriers to care and promoting quality systems delivery. And then the transformational leadership is superimposed on that from population-based assessment to population outcomes. And the attributes of transformational leadership are that they're inspirational, committed, egalitarian, ethical, and involved. And their skills, I'm having trouble reading my own slide, I'm sorry. Shared populations, shared problem-solving, risk-taking, motivation, they challenge the status quo, solicit new ideas, stimulating creativity, and are collaborative and able to work well in partnership with others. The characteristics of the model that we believe are important are that it provides specific attention to key issues in rural health services delivery, depicts collective local and regional healthcare systems in the context of rural population and community characteristics, and it emphasizes integrated programming within community and rural healthcare systems through quality improvement and other efforts. Some examples of students and the work they have done in rural areas are that one student has developed a project to modify policies and procedures of a rural free clinic to help that clinic transition to a federally qualified health center status and to accept payment for care through the proposed Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. This student wrote and received a small foundation grant to help the free clinic in its transformation. One of the courses that our students are required to take is a course in program planning and evaluation. And in that course, they're required to write a potentially fundable grant proposal. And some of them are able to work with communities and work with specific organizations in communities to then, at the end of the course, hand the grant proposal over for those organizations to change and alter so that they can actually submit them. And our students are all adult students, nurses, who learn better when they're doing something that is actually has a real application in the real world. And this project has worked very well for many of the students. Another student completed a cost analysis of shaken baby syndrome and presented it to the Commonwealth of Virginia Joint Commission on Healthcare, seeking funds to develop a shaken baby syndrome project. I have a couple DNP students who are doing rural projects in rural areas to develop evidence to change practice in rural areas. One of them is doing a study of MRSA, community-acquired MRSA, in the schools in a rural area in southern Virginia and Appalachia. And what she did was she looked at the policies of the schools and compared the policies with national guidelines, analyzing their policies. And then she did a survey of the janitors. She decided that the cleanliness of the school is really related to the janitorial staff and how well they understand the importance of cleanliness to prevent MRSA. So they have a standard continuing education program for the janitors to teach them how to clean, And she did a survey a few weeks after they took this class to see how many of them really understood and retained the knowledge they were getting in this class. And then she did a survey of the school herself, just visually, to see how clean the bathrooms were and the drinking fountains and so forth. So it's a very nice project, and it was very complex, and she'll be able to use that to work with the school to help them improve their policies to prevent MRSA. It was an area where there was a rather high rate of MRSA. Another student is working with the migrant program in Northern Virginia, in the apple-growing regions of Northern Shenandoah Valley, where there are migrant camps, and the conditions the migrants live in are rather appalling. And what she's doing is a community assessment of the migrants and the conditions in which they're living, hoping that she can use that assessment to move forward and develop some resources and new policies for the migrants in that area. So these are just a few examples of what our students are doing to try to improve rural health. Some of the lessons we've learned from this project is that it's important to infuse both master's and DNP curriculum with transformational leadership principles, that it's important to strengthen existing distance education modalities. I cannot overstate how much we have struggled with technology and how much a technology glitch can change the ability to offer a class and can upset a class. When we started doing the distance courses, we had obviously a group of faculty were very supportive, but there were some faculty who didn't want to have anything to do with it. Then over time, as it became more successful, they were coming to us and saying, can you show me how to do that? So we consider this very positive, but our technology has gotten more complex. So it's not possible to just walk into a classroom 5 minutes before class and use this interactive, synchronous technology. It requires a steep learning curve. So I think two of the things that it really make it difficult is that it requires faculty to understand and know how to use the technology. We require a lot of attention from our tech staff to keep it functioning. And then for students out in rural areas, it's a challenge to be able to access the distance platforms. There are still some areas in rural areas that don't have, some students who don't have good access to broadband internet connections, and that can be a challenge, especially down in some of the mountainous areas that we have in Virginia. And then the importance of emphasizing rural healthcare concepts. By recruiting students who are practicing in rural areas and by delivering essential curriculum components electronically, what we aim to do is promote education and retention of health resources in rural places. Our graduates are empowered with transformational skills and prepared to assume leadership in rural communities and to become change agents, influencing the nursing workforce and other disciplines and communities. Much of what I have been talking about is about our master's program. In the interest of full disclosure, this is DNP students. This is our first group of DNP graduates, and it was a picture that I had that seemed to fit here very nicely. But our model and goal are consistent with the recent IOM report on the future of nursing, which addresses the compelling need for well-trained nursing leaders who practice at the highest level of their education. And we believe the future challenge is to define rural care more specifically, and we're working on further conceptualization of this, and we're developing a manuscript to submit for publication. And we have many references. That was a few of them, but thank you.